If you would, turn to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. And we're going to start reading in verse 29. We went through several kings pretty quick last week, getting to Ahab. And if there's two people that you have to associate with Ahab, you can't hardly study Ahab without two people coming up to associate with him. I want to see how smart the class is today. What's one of them, one of the two?
Elijah.
Elijah, very, very good. Elijah is one. Now, what's the other one? His wife Jezebel, yes, absolutely. Those two people influenced Ahab, or should have influenced Ahab greatly. One obviously did influence him greatly. The other one ought to have influenced him greatly. But we're going to talk about them. We'll get to them a little bit. But I love the fact that you go throughout these kings, and I mentioned this a little bit the last couple of weeks, that every king always has a preacher associated with him. And that preacher, and Elijah's awesome. I love how Elijah does things and how Elijah just knows the office that he's been called to. And I mentioned just a couple of weeks ago, when Elijah entered the room changed. When Elijah entered the room, you knew the preacher was here. I said, when my preacher enters the room changes. And I love the fact that when preachers, when called men of God enter the room changes. The room does not change the preacher. The preacher changes the room. Amen. And I like that about the preachers that I've been associated with in my ministry here. I like the fact that when our preachers enter the room changes, and I'm excited about that. Elijah was no different. And if you look at 1 Kings chapter 16, I introduce you today to Ahab in verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Now I am going to review just a moment here. We went over last week on how good night. It's amazing that every king that we've mentioned so far in the progression of kings in Israel, every king so far, the Lord has saw fit to say that this king did evil above all that were before him. And it's amazing to me that we think, well, oh my goodness, it must be getting so bad. Oh my, it's amazing that they can get more evil. But to be real honest with you, you're only taking one step further down the road of evil than you did your predecessor. Your predecessor was already here and doing bad things, so Ahab took a step over here. If you look at the progression again in America, you see us getting more and more down the road of doing the things that are taking us away from godliness. If you look as we're going down the road, go back 30 years, you could never even fathom what you're seeing on your TVs today. You go back 40 years where Andy Griffith's show was the number one show in America. Good Lord, that's an obscure channel on the backside of your satellite dish. You see Andy Griffith once a month. Today, you get the craziest crazy that you can ever imagine on a TV set. Even your commercials are so filthy you can't watch them anymore. It's no surprise that we could look at this generation, and I believe you seniors could honestly say, we are doing more evil than all those before us. So it's not surprising to me that you've got kings in here that are time after time after time being mentioned as some of the most evil. There is one glaring difference, though, with Ahab. One glaring difference, and let me show you what that is. In verse 30, and Ahab, and this is 1 Kings chapter 16, in verse 30, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Verse 31, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Here's the glaring difference. He took a wife, Jezebel. You all know about Jezebel. No surprise there. ancestor to Hillary Clinton. Amen. So, so you've got Jezebel, but I want you to notice the distinction. For the first time in the reign of kings of Israel, you are seeing a king being mentioned as actually worshiping Baal himself. Now let me explain something to you. Don't blame Jezebel for Ahab's problem here. Oh, now I believe that Jezebel introduced this to him. I believe Jezebel taught him how. But let me explain something to you. When it came to Ahab, men always have the choice. Let me explain something to you. We are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the house. If we're the spiritual leaders of the house, don't tell me that Jezebel got him to worship Baal. He could have said no. He could have said, no, I'm not going to worship Baal. And Jezebel, yes, I guarantee you she was a problem. Let me help you a little bit. If you're going to counsel young people to get married, make sure they get married to the right person. Because it is difficult to have, let's say, a Catholic and an independent Baptist together in the same house. It's impossible because you got somebody that's not even saved. Well, they could be saved, but not even saved, worshiping Catholicism and what they do. And then you got independent Baptist over here. They're not going to mix. So Ahab here, you see, for the first time, is now introducing this idol worship right into the church house. He's saying, you know what? I'm going to start to worship Baal myself. There's something to this religion. Let me caution you a little bit. I talked to a fellow just this week that said, you know, I started studying these other religions. And I started getting involved in these other religions and really studying them deeply. And he told me, looked me right in the eye and said, you know, there's something to that Muslim religion. There's something about that. It's all the same God. They just call him by a different title. Let me explain something to you. That's not true. Amen. There is no other title. Jesus made pretty certain of that when he magnifies his name above every name. Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. Not anything else you want to put to it. It's not Muhammad. It's not Allah. It's God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's what you ought to know. You don't have to worry about studying them dumb cults. I think you should know the very, very basic thoughts. The very basic things. The basic tenets of their beliefs. That way you can talk to them sensibly about trying to win their soul to Christ. I don't think you should be ignorant. But I think that you get to studying that craziness and all of a sudden you see what they're talking about. And you being fleshly, let me explain. Your flesh desires that craziness. Your flesh does not desire to do what the Bible says to do. Your flesh desires to do that craziness. So if you go back and say, Ahab, why'd you worship Baal? His answer to you could very easily be, because it felt right. Because it felt right. I get sick and tired of hearing all the preaching. I get sick and tired of the pastor telling me what I'm doing wrong. Baal felt right. I am thankful that I've been around enough leather-lung preachers that I understand what they're trying to tell me is right to help me. Not right to make me feel like I'm in jail. Right to make me free. To help my life. And you can't do what you want to do if you follow what the Bible says because your flesh does not want to do that which is right. Now, if you look at what Ahab does here, Ahab is the first time Ahab is actually worshiping and serving Baal himself, the king of Israel. The king of Israel. This is the Israel where God took them out of Egypt by a mighty hand. This is the Israel that God delivered time after time after time. All the enemies. This is the Israel where King David was the king. This is the Israel that Solomon was the wisest man, even though he turned away at the end. This is that same Israel that God said was the apple of his eye. This is that Israel that has a king now that worships Baal. Now look what it says. He took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now, he did more evil in the sight, but now we're saying that he has stepped over here. Not only is he doing evil, now he's making God mad. Now he's making God angry. And as a merciful and gracious and loving and perfect and holy God that we have, that's a statement when we make God mad. Now, I'm not going to say that God's mad at you today, but I wonder if there's times in my life that I've done things that have grieved him enough to get upset with me. I believe there has been. I believe there's been times that God looked down and just wanted to squash like a bug. I wonder if there's been times. See, and what we're trying to learn here is how is it possible that Israel gets here? Because we look at this and we read this in a couple of weeks and we can't believe they got here. This is a mind-numbing length of years that you've got to understand in your life. And I want you to be very careful. And that's why I keep bringing this up, because this is not a surprise to me as we are looking at these kings starting from over here where everybody is compared to David. I've mentioned that 100 times. David is the comparison. This is the king. Did everything that David said, then they got Jeroboam on the other side. Then you got David here. How did we get from David, the person that, yes, he did wrong but was repentant, to a man now that is worshiping Baal in the church that he reared in Samaria? How do you get there? You know you don't get there overnight. Let me help you. You know, a church member, if you watch a church member, you want to see what starts happening in their life, a steady progression downward. What you see is they'll start to miss Wednesday night church. And they'll miss Wednesday night church for a few months. Why? Because they got more important things to do. Not necessarily bad things. They could be very good things. They could be good things in our eyes that you would never believe that they would miss for that reason. They start to miss on Wednesday night. Then you start to see them miss every once in a while in Sunday school. Well, it's no big deal. Brother Dave's boring. Praise the Lord. I'm with you. I'm boring, but whatever. You start to miss Sunday school. Then after a little while, you start to miss Sunday nights, and they're only on Sunday mornings. But praise the Lord, it's, you know, whatever. You're doing good things. You're working for the homeless, or you're doing something. But let me explain something to you. You start missing out on what God wants you to do, your life can't go in the right direction. So what you have is no surprise. They start to do things wrong, and they start to do things wrong, and they start to do things wrong all the way, and now you got Ahab. Now he's worshiping Baal in the temple that he's built in the middle of the promised land. Christian, what the caution is here? Be careful with your life. Be careful with what you do. Because we are not above this, Brother Sells. We are not above getting to this point. We are not above getting away from the Bible. You might look at me in the eye and say, I would never hold anything but the King James in my hand. Never. I would never do that. Brother Dave, never. And I've had friends of mine that I would swear would have never done it. And then they come to me and say, Brother Dave, is it really worth all the fuss? And the next thing you know, they're not holding the King James. Almost automatic that they go to the New King James first. And then they get rid of the New King James, and then they get to the old NIV. And it's amazing to me how quickly the digression comes. Why? Because they took the first step away. See, you've got to remember that when we're studying these kings, they didn't start here. They started way back with God as their king. I know we've studied this for like 2 years now. I realize this has been going on for a long time. But if you go back to where we very first started, God was their king. There was no man as king. God was it. And the people begged, said, no, we want a man. We want a king to lead us like the other nations. We want a king to take. That was their first step away. They didn't want God anymore. You could say, well, it was Solomon's mess up. No, it wasn't Solomon's mess up. It was the people's mess up way back here where they said, hey, give us a king. We want a man that we can see. Here we are at Ahab. And if you look at this, verse 34, in his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof, and Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Another answered prophecy in chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah. So we get to the king to introduce, and then we get to Elijah right away. And I love this because this is a relationship that is very, very important in Scripture. And you probably know more about this relationship than you even knew about the kings that preceded him. Everybody knows about the relationship between Elijah and Ahab. If you look at this, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And it wasn't according to Elijah's word necessarily, but God gave him the authority to say this. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. He did this. He's running because he's worried he's going to get killed. And God said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Elijah came and said to Ahab, listen, the blessing is being removed from Israel right now. Because rain has always been a blessing. Well, we get enough of it here, man. We are overly blessed here in Ravenna, Ohio. But you must understand, it was a blessing from God. The rain's taken away, and now they have a sore famine that comes. God's telling them, listen, if you are going to ignore me, if you're going to worship somebody else, let them give you rain. Let them give you water. It's amazing to me how people treat their preachers. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how quickly people turn their back on their pastor. The pastor, I always remember Brother Lester Roloff making a statement in his message. The preacher's always the first one to forgive and the last one to be forgiven. And you have a preacher that's willing to be with you for 20, I don't care, if you was dying of a heart attack, your pastor would be right there with you, praying for you and caring for you and loving you. And you say, glory to God, I got the best pastor in the whole wide world. And you do. I said, and you do. And then as soon as something happens that you don't like, you turn your back on a man that's cared about you and loved you. And this isn't just to him. There's lots of preachers that deal with this. Love their people, care about their people. I'm cautioning you, be very careful that you understand that you've got a man of God that loves you today. And I've never seen a man of God love their people more than this pastor. But I've seen people turn their back on him, curse him, talk about him. And I'm very worried about the spiritual condition of folks that cannot wait to talk about other pastors, cannot wait to talk about even their own pastor. I get very worried about that. And what you've got here is a man of God who is willing to say, and I love this, because the preachers back in that day, they meant something. What do you mean by that statement, Brother Day? It's amazing to me. Pastor used to be a calling that when people saw a pastor, they changed themselves to fit because a pastor was there. When the man of God walked in, and it wasn't because the man of God commanded the respect, it was because God said the man of God commanded the respect. Because the man of God was the man of God. He was a called man of God. We got so many craziness people out there today that just cannot wait to be like the common folk. And I'm not talking about common folk, but Elijah was uncommon. Because he knew how important his job was. I love to watch preacher walk into a hospital, just using this as an example. And the orderly or a person will meet him with some authority and say, well, preacher, you can't go in. I love that. Because I'm just about to see us go in. And it used to be when you walked in and they knew that you was the preacher, they'd say, oh, preacher, come right away. Come pray with you. But today, oh, no, you can't come in. And preacher has to tell them, you don't understand. I'm going to see my person. I'm going to see my member. When has the world started turning their back on the things of God so much that they don't even care about the prayers of the man of God being uttered? Why have we changed so much? And if we start talking about sin up here, if we start mentioning, and listen, when a pastor walks in the room, I want the room to change because the pastor's there. And what's amazing to me is you've got a world today when the pastor walks in, the people roll their eyes and say, oh boy. You work a job or you get around folks that don't go to church much. They find out you're a pastor. They should stop their cursing. They shouldn't curse anyways. But I'm telling you right now, when I walk into a room and they realize that I'm a preacher, I want them to stop their cursing. Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant the Christians cursing. I was like, Marie, stop cursing. praise the Lord. Elijah enters in, and I want you to look at chapter 18. Skip over a few verses. In that chapter, you learn of Elijah going to the widow woman, being sustained, all those things. But I'm sticking with the kings here. If you look at chapter 18 and verse 1, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now remember, it was Elijah said it was by my word, but it's by God's word. Amen? Okay. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria because of no rain. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when, now listen to this now, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Obadiah feared the Lord so much he protected the preachers. You find out later on that when they say cut off the prophets, she was killing them. She was killing the preachers. Do you know why they would kill the preachers? Because the preacher were telling them what they were doing wrong. And they wanted to do what was right in their eyes. Look at this. Fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him and said, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. I love that. Hey, my preacher's here. Huh? Listen. When my dad enters a room, and I know he's my dad, the preacher's here. And a lot of times I've heard folks say, hey, the preacher's here. When Brother Turner enters Lima and he enters into that building, hey, the preacher's here. I've seen it. Why? Because the pastor is so vital to the work of God and so vital to what God wants to happen. People ought to respect him when he comes. Go tell your king, go tell your Lord that the preacher has come. Verse 9, and he said, what, have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me? And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And here's the meeting. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, thank God you're here, preacher. Man, it's good to see you, preacher. Man, we're having trouble here. Could you pray down some rain? Preacher, can you tell me what I'm doing wrong? Preacher, I haven't seen you in so long. Where have you been? Ahab was so excited to see the preacher. He said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Because it isn't my fault that we don't have rain. It isn't my fault that we don't have food. It isn't my fault that I'm rummaging around our land to see if I can find a little bit of grass so I can keep my donkeys alive. It's not my fault. You got to ask yourself, Ahab's in trouble here. And Christian, how many times in our life do we get in trouble and we don't even understand that it's us? How many times have we gotten in trouble in our lives and don't realize it's because you haven't been around God enough to understand that it's you? And then when the preacher comes, you throw your alcohol in the closet or in the refrigerator, shut the door. You take your cigarettes, throw them out the back. You take your dope and throw them out the side. You take your dirty magazines and shove them under the couch and change the TV channel over to Hee-Haw before a preacher walks in. Because you don't want him to know that it's you that's the trouble. But when the pastor walks up to your door, believe me, God already told him it's you. You can change a channel all you want. But God already told the pastor that you're watching the wrong channel. Amen. Amen. Why is it that we think that the preachers don't hear from God? Think about that for a minute. Do you think that your pastor does not hear from God about you? That's scary. Because he does. He hears about you from God. He prays for you. He loves you, cares about you. This is no different. Do you think Elijah wanted Israel to be doing what they're doing? Here's Elijah. I guarantee he's begging God, oh, please, please make my nation better. I've prayed that prayer for America many times. Oh, God, please make our nation turn back to you. Please make our nation see it's us. We're the trouble. But what's the trouble, you ask? What has Ahab done? Oh, he's worshipped Baal. That's got to be the problem, right? He worshipped Baal. That's what it. No, he married Jezebel. He married Jezebel, and she killed all the prophets. That's why Israel's in the trouble, right? What's the Bible say? What's the problem here? The problem, he says, has got to be Elijah. It can't be him. But the Bible says, and he answered, this is Elijah talking. I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Well, there it is, preacher. You said, here it is. Well, let me explain something to you. This right here, this serving of Baal, this erecting a church and erecting that idol and that worshiping Baal at that altar of Baal, the killing of the prophets and doing all these things, these are symptoms of the problem. This could not happen if they follow the first part. This is not going to be possible if they follow the commandments of the Lord. If they follow what God hath said, they would not have a rock band up on their stage. If they follow what God has said, they wouldn't have the people coming to the church house because they've got Starbucks in the foyer. If they follow what God had said, they would have a time in their church where they go soul winning. If they follow what God had said, they'd have leather-lung, steely-spined preachers that preach to them and not some mealy-mouthed Joel Osteen with a bad mullet and a pasty face. If they follow what God had said, they would not have this erection here because they'd be following what God had said. If they follow what God has said, you would not have Barack Obama. If they follow what God has said. If they follow what God has said, you would not have the abortion issue because everybody would call it murder if they follow what God had said. How does a nation get to where they are? How does the blessing, the rain stopped. Rain's always a blessing. How did the blessing stop? How does our blessing stop? You want to be afraid? Think about this. What happens when God takes his hand off of America? Elijah lived in an age where God removed his hand of blessing. No dew, nor rain, no blessing. See, here, but you got to say, oh, it's so horrible, it's so bad. But man, I would to God that all of this study, we would get personal with this. How does God remove his hand off your life? How does God put his hand on your life? How does Ahab get to where he is personally? He ignores this. And because he ignores this, he goes on what he thinks. He follows his heart. He goes and buys himself Hallmark cards. It says, follow your heart. Follow your heart. Do what you think is right. That will get you to here. You must understand, when you look at Ahab, the problem is you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and had followed Balaam. Now therefore send, verse 19, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. He says, bring 850 of your preachers and meet me. This is a showdown. This is what it is. Bring your men. Bring them. I want you to. Because I want to reintroduce you and all of Israel to God. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You ever been in a classroom where the teacher asks the questions you think you know the answer to, but you don't raise your hand because you're worried about saying something wrong? Well, that's what they're at right now, man. If I raise my hand, I follow Baal. Well, I mean, I'm not sure yet. I don't know what Elijah's about to do here. He's spitting, foaming at the mouth. He's real angry right now, and I don't know. Because I'm going to tell you, Elijah didn't just stand there and say, which side would you like to be on today? I've come to you to ask you what side you're going to be on today. Won't you come? Please join us all in a hymn and a little bobbity ball on top of the chorus that we're going to sing today and find out what side we're going to be on. No, Elijah stepped up like an old Baptist preacher and said, how long halt you between your two opinions? If God's God, let's follow him. See, we don't have to guess what our pastor's thinking when it comes to the Bible. If the Bible's the Bible, follow the Bible. If not, run up out of here. If we don't have what God has said, then let's pack up and go somewhere else. Let's not worry about buses passing inspection. Let's not worry about getting new buses or getting old buses, whatever bus we're going to get. Let's not worry about bringing in kids, and let's not worry about sowing. Let's not worry about any of those things. If God's God, though, we've got to follow him. And this is what happens. And Elijah calls him out. Do you think for one moment that God's going to let him down? We have a nation right now that could use a few more people that are willing to say, no, no. If God's God, let's follow him. Don't put that sissy britches coexist bumper sticker on the back of your car. Because they'll be coexisting in hell. And it's not anything knocking those religions. It's not anything knocking those. Those people, you got to understand, those people believe those with their heart just like you believe what you believe with your heart. But the problem is, I don't care where their heart takes them. If it isn't towards Christ and getting saved, they're going to hell. I don't care if you keep every holy sacrament that the Catholics pass out. I don't care if you study the catechism book all the way from front to back and can recite that thing. I guarantee you, you go to hell if you don't put your faith in Christ. Amen. Let God be God. Let's follow him. Elijah came to all the people. How long, verse 21, halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men, plus the other 400, 850 preachers are there. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And listen to me. And you know this story. I'm not going to belabor this point, but this is the point right here. I don't believe America is to this point. I don't believe we are to the point where we are at our last stand. I know Elijah wasn't the last stand. There's more preachers that were out there. The Lord reveals that later. But I don't believe we're at the point now, yet. I believe that we can turn her around now. Because even at this point, God brings down fire and consumes all the sacrifice, the water in the trough, everything. And by the way, how precious was water at that time? Remember, we just came out of a drought? All of this stuff is happening, and God brought revival. I've heard tell by good preachers, there's nothing left to do. We're just going to wait on God. No, no. Christian, that's not what we're here for. See, I believe revival can come to our nation again. I believe revival can come to America if we would decide to say, how long halt we between two opinions? Are we going to stand on God's side, or are we going to stand on everybody else's side? Because there's only God standing here. Only God. Jesus Christ said, only God here. No other way here. Over here is any other way but that. That's the two opinions. Any other way but that or this. See, we can have revival in America again if we realize that that is what the two opinions are. If we come to a realization where we've got men of God that are willing to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to stand for that anymore. I'm not going to worry about getting my name in the paper. Oh, he's bashing Barack Obama and it's putting it on the internet. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to get in trouble. But as a preacher, I've got to believe that we're constrained to tell the truth. We're constrained to preach against sin and against what's going on and against the things that are happening in America. I believe we're constrained to do that, wherever that may take us. We can have revival in America. We can have revival because a revival got brought here. And I believe we can. I introduce you today, Ahab. But Ahab is a man that had a problem. And his problem was he ignored the commandments of the Lord. He ignored this old book and the truths therein and made up his own truths. If you want America back, if you want your nation back, if you want your personal life back, you've got to start here. You must start here.